Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim. Oops, let me get my recording here going, sorry. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Menachos Daf Mem Dalet. Now, I'm a little confused as to where we ended yesterday, because I thought I remembered myself saying that we should finish the Mea Brachos. And then I don't remember if we actually did.
I don't think we did the Mea Brachos. I think Rebbe gave the...
Oh, okay, fine. So then we should go all the way back to the Rebbe Meir? Okay. I do remember saying that, but I'm sorry. We start from there. Tanya. Haya Rebbe Meir Omer. Chayav Adam Levarech Mea Brachot Choyom. Shneimar v'yata Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha she'el mi'imach. So ma can be understood as me'ah. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Me'ah brachot. Oh yeah, so we did go through yesterday the way that in a normal day you would actually have as part of the takana of the normal brachas that it should equal 100 brachas. And then when you get into trouble on Shabbos or on Yontev or even worse on Yom HaKippurim, so there you lose out not only on the Yutet Brachot of your Tefillot, but you also don't have any kind of Birkat HaMazon or any kind of Birkat HaAchila. So then there are eight sot, which first of all, Reb Chiya Bereder Reb Avya B'Shabbat B'Yom Tove, he would be Torech U'Memale Lehi B'Yispar Mekei U'Magdei. He would add a lot of nice smelling things and would make brachos in the various B'Samim. Or he would have, yes, I remember somebody suggested Shabbos treats, magdanim. So different kind of mizonot, candies, fruits, whatever makes up those brachot. Now the truth is that's not going to be much of a help, at least the candies, for Yom Kippur. But there are additional answers, because some of the Rishonim Paskin, that if you actually say amen to somebody else's bracha, then that counts as the bracha, if it's a bracha that's made for the tzibur. So let's say you say amen to someone's birkat haTorah when he's called up to the Torah. So, okay, that gives you additional brachot. And if you're mechaven and saying amen to the tefillah of the shliach tzibur on Yom HaKippurim, so you get those additional brachot in each one of the tefillot hayom. So you can make it up. There are many people that are marked, but Dafka smell many times over Yom Kippur as part of the Mea Brachot. Tanya, Aya Rebbe Meir, Omer. Another thing that Rebbe Meir used to say is that Chayav Adam Levarer Shalosh Brachot B'chol Yom. You need to address three things every day. So this one was changed because of the implications of to the censor, who wasn't particularly happy at our saying Shalom Asani Koi. So we turned it into the positive, Shasani Yisrael. But that doesn't really work, because if you say that bracha, then you're basically canceling the other brachot. Remember that the point of these three brachot that you make is to go up in the number of the chiyuvim of the mitzvahs that you have, and to recognize, to be made of mishabeach on the opportunity that you have of being able to do those mitzvot. Okay, so first of all, when you say Shelo Asani Goy, you wouldn't be chayiv on any mitzvot. So that doesn't give you an opportunity to be mechalek. So when you say Shelo Asani Isha, so then that is able, this is the way originally we're going to see that this is wrong, but then it gives you the opportunity to be mechalek between the Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the mitzvot in general, and the Hodah for the addition of the mitzvot Aseh Shazman Gorma. So if you wouldn't have had those mitzvahs, so then you would have been in a terrible shape. You would have been missing all of those wonderful opportunities. So in order to be mechalek it, we say it in that way. Now, the way that the brayta was given over by Rebbe Meir is that you should also say Shelo Asani Bur, which of course is a big problem because most people are. But so he used to say Shelo Asani Bur. So what would that mean? I mean, that's crazy. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov hears his son saying that bracha, Shelo Asani Bur. Really? Is that so? Kulei Ayin Ami. Well, question of how to understand the Kulei Hainami, but it certainly does not seem appropriate to say Shalos Hanibur. I mean, the idea over here is, first of all, we don't want people making up their minds whether they are a boor or they're not a boor. But besides that, the question of a boor is irrelevant because a boor is chayiv in all of the mitzvahs. What would mishlo sani boor? Now you're going to start talking about, you know, shenatanli sarot kigereshi, let's say, for instance, right? I mean, not everybody is zocher to having such a nice trip. Okay. But everybody's got their thing. I mean, you know, if we would have Richie, is Richie there? Yeah. I mean, just think of that beautiful and impressive captain's beard. So what, we're going to start making brochas on every mila that everybody's got. So the idea over here is obviously these are brochas that are meant to be existential brochas about the nature of the person's mitzvahs that he has to be able to be zechet on haba. So that doesn't make any sense. So it says, his son says to Rav Acha by Yaakov, but I know, I was taught I was supposed to make three brochas. Yes. And the other brocha wasn't bur. Elamayim b'vorech, shalo asani evet. That's what you should make, because he doesn't have as many mitzvahs, and as many, because of the opportunities to do mitzvahs, as a free person. Even though he's chayev in mitzvahs, because an evet is by definition, had to have been mekabel, the dinim of the mitzvahs, when they tabled him for avdut. But his son said to his abba, but that's, if the issue is mitzvahs, so then it's the same, isn't it? I mean, I know Isha, then you're not making a difference, because remember, we learn out from La Lami Isha, the Shivcha, that Shivcha the Isha is the din that we say by an Eved, and that is the same idea of the mitzvahs that a woman is chayevet and Eved is chayev. So why should I say that? Well, said Rav Acha bar Yaakov, there's two ways of understanding this. And one is ziltve, that the eved is much more zolt. He doesn't have the meanings of doing a mitzvah that a woman has, despite the fact that he's mechuyev in the mitzvah. He doesn't have the nichus that connects his mitzvah to all of the mitzvahs that have been done from the time of Bris Hashem Avraham Avinu, and he has no ability to even marry into Yisrael, which shows that he's not zocha to that yichus the way that a ger is zocha. So because of that, he's considered to be zol, and his mitzvahs therefore don't have that same mila. Getting back now to the trevas, turn it up on chilazon ze, I should say. Now this chilazon is this weird kind of thing. Its gufo is dona l'yam. It has on the coloration of its body, it is obviously meant to blend in to its surroundings, so it looks like the yam. Uvriyato dome ledag, and it has the normal building of a body that's meant to live in the sea. Remember, a dog does not mean a fish in Lashon HaKodesh. A whale is a dog too. So the point of a dog is something that is designed for living in the water. The Ole Achad L'Shivim Shana, every 70 years, it swarms onto the land, and Ubedamot Zovim Techelet, which is not really true, it's not the dam of the Chilazon, but it's the dye that it actually utilizes to escape, or to do battle with other males. So it's used to be tzoveat the treles, and that's what makes it very expensive, because in order to be able to get it, you're going to have deep sea divers, and also they're going to have to wait 70 years. Now, as far as, you know, how these things fit, nobody's been able to fit any kind of chilazon into, as far as is known, into a pattern of 70 years swarming. So I don't know what that means. Nobody's been able to really make that lahalocha true, but everything else has been able to be fitted into the murex, a particular type of murex that's used today for making techeles. And who knows? You know, there may be patterns in the way in which it reproduces, maybe once every 70 years, there is a some type of swarming. There is a place that is called in Arabic. I forgot what it's called. Is Banea here? Banea is not here. Maybe he would know. I forgot what it's called, but it's called Chilzan, something about the Chilazon. And it's around the area where the Chilazon actually was taken from under the sea. And it is a valley which is called after the Chilazon, which was mashma that there was some type of idea that there was a pattern in the spreading of the Chilazon. So it could be we just don't know about it. But as far as I've been able to tell, there is no such type of snail. Rashi, by the way, actually uses the French for snail when he talks about the Chilazon. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Natan, אין לך כל מצווה קלה שכתובה בתורה, שאין מתן שכרה לעולם הזה ולעולם הבא. Basically, even though it's such a simple mitzvah to be mekayim, the simplest mitzvah has schar in olam hazeh, which is not literally, it's schar, of course, schar mitzvah by olam aleka, but it brings you rewards in olam hazeh. In the general sense of sachar, bring a reward. You know, there's two meanings to reward. But there are rewards for being a mensch. Okay. You go, yes, there are rewards. That's not called the sachar of the mitzvah. But nonetheless, it brings tremendous sachar in olam hazeh. But as far as olam haba is concerned, oh gosh, that is unimaginable. Ain't here be a comma, but I could show you rewards in olam hazeh. Take a look at tzitzit. I mean, tzitzit's not a difficult mitzvah to be mekayim, you know? And there was this very frum guy who used to be extremely makbid on the mitzvah of tzitzit. I mean, he had a little bit of a penchant to visit wars in different countries, but he would always wear his tzitzit. So anyway, Shamashi Yesh Zona Bekarche Ayam, he heard that there was this island in which there was this incredible whore. She would take 400 golden zuz, which, oh my gosh, that is a millionaire's hoard, let me tell you. And you have to make an appointment and send her the money in advance. Okay, so he sends her these 400 zuz, and he's kavalos man. He makes an appointment with her. When the time for the appointment comes, he comes and the private landing strip, you know, he lands at inner private airport, comes to the door, and he's greeted there by the shivcha, and her shivcha comes and tells her, the guy that was due today that paid in advance, he's there at the door. So she says, fine, let him come in. So he comes in, and this is like Shangri-La. So he's got seven different mitot. You know, the first six, you climb up. They're made out of silver. The top one is made out of gold. And between each one of these beds, you've got a silver ladder. So this is literally to create an atmosphere of Shangri-La. Anyway, so she goes up into the seventh heaven over there, and she's sitting naked on that bed. The afhu ala le'sheva rom kinegda, and he goes up to sit down also on that bed without his clothes. All of a sudden, his four tzitziot, which he thought he had left safely down on the floor, they pop up and slap him across the face. Not a good situation. So this is called instant flaccidity. And sure enough, he falls down to the floor, sits down on the floor, and he sits on the floor there. Oh, my God. Anyway, so she comes down, sits on the floor. She says, I swear, you got to tell me, what turned you off? I nobody's ever been turned off by me. Yeah, have I swear by the eagle of Rome. I'm not going to leave you until you say what it is that turned you off. So he said to her, I swear, I've never seen anyone so gorgeous. But what am I supposed to do? Mitzvah achat. There's this one little mitzvah, tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu, v'tzitzit shama. And it's got one pasuk in there that's killing me. It says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hotzeiti, Ani Hashem Elokechem, it repeats again, which means, Shtei Pa'amim, Ani Hushatid Li Parah, Ani Hushatid Li Shalem Sachar. Now I feel like I've got four witnesses with cameras on me, and there's I can't do nothing. Need more like Arba Edim. So Amro lo, okay, Eim Elichacha Shetomar Li Mashimcha. I'm not letting you out of here until you tell me your name, where you come from, what your Rebbe's name is, and what your yeshiva's name is. You ain't getting out of here. So he writes her, Katav Natan Biyada, Ve'anda V'chuka Kol Nechaseha. She decides there's only one truth in the world. She splits up her property, gives one-third of her property to the government to pay off everybody to make sure that she's allowed to escape and to become a Gioret, which at that time was punishable sometimes by death. Shlish, she gained it out to the Anim, to Zeschus, and she took one-third of her money besides Chutz Me'oton Matzaot, besides all those beautiful beddings that she had prepared in her special little red whorehouse at the corner. And she brought that with her. Ubat lebeit midrasho she Rebbe Chiya, which he had told her, son of Gers Rebbe Meir, she came to the Beis HaMedrash, and she said to him, Rebbe, tzaveh alai v'yasuni giyoret. Teach me whatever I need to be taught. Tell me what I got to learn. I want to become a giyoret. Amala biti. Maybe you've actually been turned on by one of my talmidim, which would mean that you're not really a giyoret l'shem shamayim, and I'm not able to make you a giyoret. She took out the note for this guy, and she gave it to him, telling him over the whole story. And she said, "Yes, I do want one of your talmidim, but I'm ready to become a ger, no matter what. And what I want is only because of the godless and his mitzvahs." So after she became a giyoret, he said to her, "Now, zechi b'mikachech, go ahead and take the boy that you wanted." Otan matzaot sheitzia lo b'yisur, that same beautiful arrangement that she had in Shangri-La, yitzia lo b'heter, she made in their little house together. And that was his, so to speak, matan scharo b'olam hazeh. That's what came out of that mitzvah of tzitzis in olam hazeh. If that's the schar in olam hazeh, boy, that's Shangri-La in olam hazeh. So the olam haba, any yodei kama, can you begin to imagine what schar is in olam haba? It's a fabulous gemara, is it not? And the understanding of the nature of Shangri-La in olam hazeh to actually make that a marker of understanding the nature of schar and olam haba is extremely insightful. And of course, as we know, the issue of tzitzit is specific. So the schar would be expressed in the same issue. Getting back to the dinim of the tzitzit, talit she'ula kol shloshim yom b'tura min ha-tzitzit. If you borrow a beged, it doesn't have tzitzit on it, and you want to wear it, so for 30 days, since it's not yours, and it says beferish kisuticha, it's supposed to be on your own begadim, or the gidilim. But this is not your own beged. So the chachomim were not mechayev you. But mikan ve'elech, if it's going to be for more than 30 days, even though technically speaking, it's not yours, the chachomim were mechayev you anyway in making tzitzit, because it's easily confused with something that is yours. Tanya Namiyochi, we have, now this is not true if it had already tzitzit on it. Because if it had tzitzit on it, then we assume that the person who lent it to you bidas that it should be yours in order to make the bracha tefillin of tzitzit. The same way that somebody lends you the lulav and esrog, it's understood that they're giving it to you as a matana, amanat la'achzer, and that you can use it to make a mitzvah. This is so, to make a brocha, and this is so true that even if it's a talit that is left in the Beit HaKnesset that belongs to another person, we also make a normal assumption that someone who leaves his talit in a Beit HaKnesset, he has the das that if somebody needs a talit and wants to make a brocha on it, he has in mind that he should take it. Tanya Amiyochi, we have a similar din with Hadar Bapundiki, Beretz Israel. So if somebody is staying over in a bed and breakfast, you know, he doesn't have to put on a mezuzah. And a good Chutzlaritz, even if he rents the house, he doesn't have to put on a mezuzah, at least for the first 30 days. Same thing as over here of the Talit. After that, he is chayev in the mezuzah, and the Rabbakas over there also says, same way it says kisuticha has to belong to you, it says in the mezuzah beitecha, which means it has to be yours. After Shloshim Yom, so we have this same Gezerah Drabbanan, and therefore they are Mechayev you. Now Rashi has this extra words where he says, why do we pater someone for Shloshim Yom? Because he may be Mishane Edato. He may end up moving somewhere else, which L'chora is not necessary to say if this is Stam a Gezerah Drabbanan because it looks like it's your house. So he obviously has a different way of saying it, but it would mean lahalacha, big difference. Because if you're saying that the union is that he may change his mind, if he's already, let's say he signed himself into the deal and he's going to have a contractual obligation to stay there, so then we're not chayish that he's going to change his mind, as we're going to see the taking into consideration the additional costs that are involved is very much part of this whole takana. So Rashi seems to be saying that the issue is once he's made up his mind, once he's stuck with this, so we already treat it as if it's his, if we want to learn that this is a drabona. Otherwise, it gets into the issue of whether Schiris would have a din of kinyan of actually being yours. So this is in Chutzlaretz, but if somebody is socher bayit in Eretz Yisrael, osem mezuzah la'altar mishum yishub Eretz Yisrael. There Chazal r'machayev him to invest in putting up mezuzahs, which is a difficult mitzvah and an expensive mitzvah. And what's more, you're not allowed to take off your mezuzahs when you're moving out, unless you know that a goy is, or someone that's going to be mezalzel in the mitzvah, is going to move in. But that means that you're sort of stuck with this house, because once you've already invested in it, you're not going to move out that easily. And if you do move out and leave the mezuzah there, well, it makes it the kind of place that someone else is going to want to rent because it's already supplied with its mezuzot. So therefore, it's valuable for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to make sure that you put the mezuzah in immediately. Next thing.
Maybe does it also keep the goyim out? Is that also part of it? I'm insisting that a Jew would move in because the mezuzah is on the door.
I just said that. I just said that. The fact that there are mezuzahs on it makes it attractive to new renters. I think it's Seder with Barnea is making you fall into these Barnea warps. And I know, Gershi, you seem to be caught between the two of them. I'd watch out. Okay, next thing we add in our Mishnah. Tfila shel yad hina ma'akevet et shel rosh. Sharosh inamakevet lishoya. Omer of Chista, well, it's not 100% true. Because this is only the case if you have both a tefillin shoyad and a tefillin shorosh, and you can only wear one of them right now. So then you'd be yotze on the mitzvah of that particular tefillah. But if you don't have both of your tefillin, you can't wear one of your tefillin. Whoa. Because if it's not there, then it's actually Ma'akevet. So they said to Rav Chista, are you serious? Haman, you really said that? Who, me? No way. I wouldn't say anything so stupid. How would I say that? No way. What? Does it make sense for somebody to say such a thing? Who would say such a thing? If you can't be Mekayim two mitzvahs, you shouldn't be Mekayim any mitzvahs. You gotta be nuts to say that. Okay, but he did say it. So why did he say it? So Mikara Baisova, what did he think originally when he made that statement? He thought that it was roi to make a gezera shema yivsha. Once you allow a person to get away with something, he never fixes it. It now becomes good enough. Okay. So he managed to get himself a tefillah shel yad. He never got a tefillah shel rosh. The Rav told him, put on your tefillah shel yad. Oh, okay, this is good enough to have a tefillah shel yad. So he'll never get a tefillah shel rosh. So therefore, I say, don't let the guy put on anything unless he's ready to go out there. Once he bought them, I don't worry. But if he didn't buy them yet, I'm worried. Okay, but lemaisa we don't pass him. Amar of Sheshes. Kol she'eno miniach tefillin, over b'shmona aseh. Such a person is going to be over on the ukshartom with the lo'od ayadecha, and v'ayula totafot b'neinecha, and that is said in each one of the arba parshiot. So that's 2 times 8. Those are 8 mitzvahs. He's going to be missing 8 mitzvahs by not putting them on. He's going to be over on, for the tzitzit, on chamisha aseh. There we have a sulam tzitzit, and al tzitzit akanaf til techelet, and v'yalacham tzitzit, and uritemoto, and gidilin taselach. Those are all, I mean, when we say they're separate mitzvahs, the Torah mentioned them as separate mitzvahs. We're not talking about the minyan on mitzvahs, obviously. But there are 5 tzivuyim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're ignoring. A kohen who doesn't go up to the Duchan, he's going to be over on 3 separate mitzvahs too. And that's the idea of Kotev Baruch Hu and Emor Lahem and the Samud Shemit. Those are separate mitzvahs. Kosha Elo Mizuzah B'Pitcho over B'Shnei Aseh. Uchtavtem. We have Uchtavtam HaMizot B'Techa in the first parsha and Uchtavtam HaMizot B'Techa in the second parsha. V'Homar Ish Lakish. Kol Amin Niach Tefillin Ma'arich Yamin. Someone who puts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on his body with those tefillin is Zochet Arich Has Yomi. Because we see in the Pasuk, which we're understanding now, even though the Pashtas, it's really the reference is to Tchias HaMesim B'Pashtas, and it's a continuation of the story of the Mesim. And when it says there, Adonai Aleihem Yichyu, Ulechol Bahem Chayei Ruchi, V'Tachlimeni V'Hachayeni, the Pashtas says it's a reference to the Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be B'Chayei them, L'Atid Avo, but we understand it to mean the shame of Adnus, which we're using over here for the Shemais Hashem that are in the tefillin, if they are Aleihem, so they're wearing it on them, and that becomes, like it says, Ra'u Kol HaMe'aretz, that Shem Hashem is Nikra Alech. So that's the Hashem Aleihem Yichyu. If the Shem is on them, then they will live. So this means that they will be given additional life. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk, at least a very simple drasha. And, Baruch Hashem, was zocher to a living kapitan who was just wearing tefillin al rosho and is still like a kohen gadol with the tzitz, and he's ready to introduce the next Mishnah, and Suri's listening in.
I am certainly willing, but I must put a disclaimer and a warning. Uh-oh. That because I woke up late and I rush out for the last minion, I will not be here in case you get as far as the next Mishnah. You will have to put in a substitute. You will have to prepare. Somebody will have to prepare. Like, just like the Kohen Godel had somebody in case, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody has to prepare for the next one.
And I even hear that the Ayatollah are making people to just be ready to take their place.
That's right. Labdil.
Labdil.
Zook the Halakha Mishnah.
Wow. Maybe it's kedai for you to get up late every day. That was pretty good. And Alon, meanwhile, is holding a Murex right over Richie's head. This was actually found in the Titanic, which, as we know, was put into place by our own very dear Capitan. Okay, getting on with the list of things that are not ma'akev, which is what our parak is about. Hasolet v'hashemen ein ma'akvin et hayayin. I don't know. So now what we're talking about is the dual-faced minchas nisachim. Minchas Nesachim obviously has its component. One is the Yayin, which is poured on the Mizbeach, and the other is the Mincha, which is burnt on the Mizbeach. And that Mincha is comprised of both Solem and Shemen. So the Solat and Shemen component, on the one hand, is not Ma'akev the Yayin on the other hand. So if you don't have the Yayin, you still bring the Mincha. And if you don't have the Yayin, then you could, and if you don't have the Mincha, you still bring the Yayin. V'lo Yayin Ma'akvan. And another thing, which we had back in Zvachim, is that the Matanot Shalom is Be'ach HaChitzon, Ema Akvot Zotzo. Any korban that's brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, only one dam is ma'akev, even a chatas, which has arba matonais, only one of those matonais are ma'akev, and the other ones are called the sholoi shebechatas, remember, back in Zvochim. And we were talking about what is their halacha legabe, the dinim of pigol, and so on. Tanrabban, the Torah writes, u'minchatam v'nizkehem, again and again and again, on all of the musafim of Chag HaSukkot, and therefore, it's clearly teaching us this is the correct way to do it. Minchatam v'nizkehem, which makes it quite clear. Havei mincha v'acharkach havei nesachim. The order, correct order, is mincha nesach. Rebbe says, well, I have a different pasuk. The pasuk says, zevach u'nesachim dvar yom b'yomo. You forgot about that. How about at the end? Ela moadei Hashem asher tigrou otam mikroi kodesh la'akriv ishal Hashem ola u'mincha zevach u'nesachim, in that order. So first comes the zevach, then comes the nesachim, which means that the zevach is followed immediately by nesachim and not by the mincha. So havei zevach v'chakach havei nesachim, right away. So how can you tell me that you're supposed to first bring the, well, your pasuk says it, but of course we'll have to explain that away, but you should first bring minchatam and then niskehem, because that would mean that between the zevach and the nesach, you're bringing the mincha. But Rebbe, I mean, it does say minchatam v'niskehem. How do you explain that? Ah, that I explain by telling you that actually there are minachot v'nizkehem that can be brought at night. You might have thought that the zevach gives the same din to the nesachim, and that it's also to be makriv at night because of b'yom tzavoto, as we know. You don't begin your korban at night. But here, as long as you didn't make it kadosh b'kli, in which case it could be possible belina, and the next day I wouldn't be able to bring it. But this is coming to tell me you can bring your mincha and your nesach in the nighttime, and you can bring it even the next day. Mincha tam v'nizkehem, that it keeps repeating, is to teach me it doesn't have to be with the zevach. It doesn't even have to be the night after the zevach. It doesn't even have to be the day after the zevach. I can bring it at a later date. Wow. So what did the Rabbanan do with the pasuk of Zevach and Nesachim, which is mashma that the Nesachim follow the Zevach immediately before bringing the Mincha? Ah, that's an important halacha. That's to teach me that the Nesachim become Kodesh only after you shech the Zevach. So with the Shkitas HaZevach, you gave a particular Kedusha to the Nesachim that you're bringing. And what nafkamina does that make? It means that you cannot transfer them to bring with another korban. They become kavua. This is the nesach of this zevach. But if you didn't do the shvita of the zevach, you could change your mind. And you could say, well, I thought I was going to bring this with the zevach, but actually I've decided to bring it elsewhere. So that's been a very important din that I learned from zevach and nesachim. Hey, so then isn't it true that Rebbe agrees to that. So Rebbe Nami, Miboyle the Kedizairi, never heard anybody who said differently than that. And the Rabbanan, I never heard anybody who said that you cannot bring your mincha and nesachim belayla, and you cannot bring your mincha and nesachim lamachar. So how does each one account for the other one's usage of the pasuk if everybody agrees that you need the same din as the other? So Rebbe Nami Miboyle Kedizairi and Rabbanan Nami Miboyle Lamenchatam Nizkeim Balayla. So we're not getting anywhere. It means they both agree to these two psukim. We better find ourselves a better reason for what the machlokas is between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Ela Hainu Tamayu de Rabbanan. I'll tell you what this is about. Since it says Ola Umincha, you never explained that. It says, Ola u'mincha zevach nesachim. That tells me you bring a korban ola, then you have to immediately follow that with the mincha, not with the nesach. Okay, so that's great. So that's the chachomim, that you bring first the mincha. So what's Rebbe going to do with that? Rebbe says, you're supposed to first bring the nesachim. So what does he do with ola u'mincha? So you haven't explained the machloket. Okay. I'm starting over again. Getting myself painted into a corner here. The point is that we're making a very simple error, because there's going to be a difference between a minchas nesachim that is brought together with the carbon that you're bringing in, or the minchas nesachim that's going to be brought a week later, filo lamachar. Obviously, there's a different relationship between them. So let's understand. Ella, the goyim im zevach, if you're bringing the mincha together with your zevach, there everybody agrees. It says ola u'mincha. You have to bring the mincha immediately after the ola, and it makes a great deal of sense. Because basically, you're in the middle of a meal. You're feeding the mizbeach. First, you're feeding the mizbeach the meat, and then you're feeding the mizbeach the bread, so to speak. So that would be the same as in any seudah. You're not going to interrupt the seudah for drinking. So therefore, everybody would agree that what we do over here is we bring the mincha immediately after the ola, and only then do we bring the nesachim, the hachtiv ola u'mincha. So where is this machlokes about Rebbe and the Rabbanan about the order? Keep leading. We're talking about over years where you did not bring the korban minchas nesachim together with the zavach at all. Maybe it's the next week. So Rabbanan say, look, the norm was defined by ola u'mincha, right? So you agreed that midabayim imazavach mincha v'charkach nesachim. So doesn't that show you the order of priorities between the mincha and the nesach, right? So if you're bringing it together with the zevach, you bring first the mincha and then the nesach. So why wouldn't that still be true in the order of priorities b'fnei atzmam? I don't see why you should make a difference. Whereas Rebbe says, well, obviously you should make a difference. Because if you're talking about bringing something together with the korban, so you're in the middle of feeding the mizbeach. Okay, so you started feeding food, achila, solid foods. So then continue. Keep feeding solid foods, and then you'll get to the drinks at the end. But and then go to the nesachim. But if you're talking about starting from fresh, then nesachim are more chashev. Why would they be more chashev? Because nesachim are what you say Shira over. And the Levim say the Shira specifically, Gemara learns this out in Erechin, that you say the Shira in the Beis HaMikdash as the wine is being poured out on the Mizbeach. So that means that clearly there's a special, unique feeling about the joy that is involved, because that's when the music begins. Next thing we had in the Mishnah is something that we learned in detail in the Masechet Tzvachim, and we're going to go over it for a moment. Hamatanot she'al ha'mizbeach ha'chitzon ein ma'akvot zo. So this was the braita that we had learned. Nina yinukolanita nim al mizbeach ha'chitzon shenetanam b'matana achad shekiper. How do we know that any dam that was meant to go on the mizbeach ha'chitzon, whatever it is, even if it's a chatas that requires arba matanais, how do we know that only one matana is sufficient to be mechaper? Shenemar v'dam zivachecha yishafech al mizbach Hashem Elokecha. So it means anything that gets to the mizbeach, dam zivachecha yishafech. The correct way of doing it, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us is aveda, something else. But habasar de'achel, at the end, is the moment it's dam yishafech. So that tells me that I'm now matir the baser b'achila because I was already mechaper.